Oh, I got it. I'm all set. Hey, good morning. Good morning, Faith Christian Center. Good morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I think I am live. Yes, we are good. Lord, we just thank you this morning just for all your blessings, Lord, that you bestowed upon us, Lord. We ask that you will humble me, Lord. Lord, and speak through me, Lord. Help me not to say anything that you don't want me to say, Lord. Amen. Lord, and we ask you right now to let your spirit fall on the church and give us ears to hear what it is that you're saying today, Lord. Soften our hearts, Lord, so that we can hear what it is that you're saying and minister to the people. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. It is good to be here. Around this time, what's happening is I should be given an icebreaker, right? So icebreaker time. Pastor Mike might be telling a joke. Pastor Chris might be talking about Jen. Sorry, no. And Jonathan, he just brings his youthfulness. It's the icebreaker. So thank God. And Pastor John, he just has all the wisdom and experience to bring. But today, what I bring is I just bring a humble servant. I bring someone who's been serving the Lord for a long time, have made a whole bunch of mistakes, but has always been confident in the God that I serve, that he's my Father, he's my Lord, and he's my deliverer. About, probably about 6 months, maybe now 8 months ago, I was just meditating. I was just thinking about how I do have an echo here, so if you can kind of take care of that, I appreciate it. But I was just thinking about, man, the year 2024-25 had been just so difficult. I had lost misuse of drugs. I had lost a student. We had lost another student at our school to gun violence. I had had some health issues, just one thing after another, just in terms of family issues and things just was stirring up. And I was like, oh, my God, it just feels like I'm, like, going through some in this wilderness experience. And if you live long enough, you're going to walk through some kind of wilderness experience. And I don't know what it might be, but I'm not talking about like a physical place, like a desert or a place on a map, but just some place where your strength just isn't enough to solve the issue. Your connections, people in your life, they're just not enough to even fix it. You just don't know what else. Your experience, your education, all that just isn't enough to make things right, to solve the issue. Whether it's money, the money can't control it, you know, or can't buy it and fix it and make it right. So whatever you used to do, things you used to do, they just don't seem to work anymore. And the Bible talks about those wilderness experiences, and he uses those wilderness experiences so that he can teach us and train us. They're never random. So those wilderness experiences are never random in the scripture, it tells us. It's never accidental, so they have a purpose, always have a purpose. The wilderness is where God, he removes your foundation. Things that you have been leaning on all your life, he will remove them so that he can let you know and teach you to lean on him fully and totally. He wants to teach you and to let you trust him. And the way I say this kind of trust, he wants you to trust him without hesitation. That means that when he says you hear his voice, you're obeying it. The question is never will you face a wilderness, The question is never, will you face a wilderness? The question is, who you will you become while you're there in that wilderness? Who are you going to become? Who are you going to trust? So we're going to go through some scriptures talking about the wilderness experiences in the Bible, the narrative. But just so that you have the answer, Jesus is your answer for surviving those wilderness seasons. But he's not just your answer for surviving. He's there for thriving so that you can thrive in the wilderness. So as I kind of flash back, I think about the big wilderness experience that we all know a lot about is children of Israel, right? Israel, they have been taken slavery by Pharaoh in Egypt. And they have been in slavery for a lot of years. And what happens is through miracles, some plagues, and the Red Sea, God delivered them. But as they were exiting from Egypt, he did something that was extremely surprising and interesting. In Exodus 13, 17 through 18, and I'll just read it. God did not lead them by way of the Philistines, but God led them, he led the people around by way of the wilderness. God chose the long road for them because even though they were free from Egypt, they still had that Egypt mentality in front of them. They still had that slavery mindset, and God wanted to deliver them and to deliver them fully. So what should have taken 11 days' journey to the promised land ended up taking 40 years. And it wasn't because, you know, God didn't know what he was doing or lost direction or anything like that, but God was shaping their hearts. God gave them manna from heaven when they had no food, because he wanted them to trust me. He was telling them, trust me every day for your living. Trust me. God brought water from rock when they were thirsty, and that's in Exodus 17, because he wanted them to listen in obedience. There was two situations where they were thirsty and wanted water. One time he told Moses to strike the rock, and Moses striked and the water came out. The next time he told Moses just to speak to the rock. To me, that was just a level of God saying that I am, this is your classroom, this is your wilderness. Your wilderness is your classroom, it's where you're teaching. So yeah, that physical thing, striking the rock, that was at another level. But now he's saying that you don't need to strike the rock anymore. You can just speak to the rock. And so he was taking them up a little higher and saying, just speak to the rock and the water will come through. Unfortunately, in that situation, they failed. But if you know the story, the children of Israel just kind of failed over and over. But God was there to just to teach them. He gave them the law so they could learn to live as his people. Because he said over and over again that you are my sons. Israel, you are God's sons. And he had given them the law. He guided them with a pillar of fire. Actually, with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Because he was letting them know that I'm there. I'm there for you to trust me. I don't want you just to trust me, like just daily. I don't want you just to trust me. I want you to trust me always. So that's when they were given the manna. He just didn't like say, okay, this manna, you can go, you can store it up and everything. He didn't do that. He said, you have enough manna just for this one day. And if you take too much, it's going to turn to maggots and worms. Because he wanted us to know that just not monthly, but not weekly, but daily, he wanted us to trust him every hour, trusting him and listening to him. I remember when I think of trust, I remember one of our pastors, Pastor Sam, would talk about how we would come in and we sat down and we trust the blue chairs. They were blue at that time. Now they got, I don't know what that is, tan, gray. All right. But he would talk about how we would just trust those chairs and we would sit in them. And that was thankful. And I began to think about those chairs and about trusting and how we sit in those chairs. But we don't just sit in those chairs and trust them. We got history with chairs. We've been sitting in chairs, those little rocking chairs that our parents used to have us sit in. Since we were a baby, we know how chairs are. We know that there are four legs, and then there's this top. Some of them have backs, some of them don't. We know that engineers have designed these chairs, or some person who was designing this chair designed this chair, and it works. I can go home and I can sit at my chair. I can go to my work office and sit at this chair. I can even see a table that has a flat purpose and four legs and know that that table can hold me also. And that's what God is saying, that just like you have history with me, Israel, you know my ways. You know what I am. I've given you food. I've given you water. I've taken care of you and I've guided you. You know my ways. You know those chairs. You know the structure of those chairs. If somebody, and immediately, it's one of those chairs got a little shaky leg, you know what you're going to do? You're going to shake it first. You're going to check it out to make sure it can balance your weight. All right? But we've got, he wanted us to trust in God. And that was the purpose and the reasoning for that wilderness experience for the children of Israel, so that they could, hallelujah, so they could fully trust him, so they can fully depend on him and know that he was their God and he was there for them. I don't know, in Deuteronomy, some of the scriptures might be up there, but you don't have to, we'll just keep going on. In Deuteronomy, it talks about how, and if you could, we don't have to go there, all right? But in Deuteronomy, it talks about how some of them, because of their unbelief, did not get into the promised land. It was because of their unbelief that they didn't get there. And the whole generation, they died out because of their unbelief. The Lord led you into the wilderness, and this is Deuteronomy 8 and 2. Lord led you into the wilderness to humble you, to test you, and to know what was in your heart. Deuteronomy 8 and 3 says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of man. The mouth of the Lord. Sorry, we don't want that mouth of the man there. Hallelujah. I've been praying that if I say something wrong, Lord, I want you to scream in my head, no, no, no. Hallelujah. So he just did. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because of unbelief, an entire generation, they missed the promised land. The wilderness and those hard times and those struggles with health and those struggles with family, they can shape you or they can harden you. It depends on whether you're trusting in God. They can permit you and usher you into the promised land, or they can cause you to die right there in the wilderness. But God, he never intends, so no matter what you think about the wilderness, you got to know that God never intend the wilderness to destroy you. He wanted to form you. He wanted to prepare, he want the wilderness to prepare you for your promised land, for your calling, for your Garden of Eden, whatever it may be. He's about formation and using the wilderness. I saw somewhere that God never just waste a wilderness experience. He's not going to waste it. So no matter how you got there, and it might be all kinds of ways that you get into that wilderness experience. Sometimes we get there, I don't know, just because of our own folly, our own issues, our own taking, our own wisdom, and doing things our way and not trusting God, trusting God fully. Sometimes we get there. I remember Adam and Eve, right? You know, they were in the Garden of Eden, having a good time. God had blessed them and everything. They were in that garden. And then they began to think and not hear and be obedient to God's ways. And not serve him fully. They began to use their own wisdom to make decisions and to make choices. And you know what God had to do? He had to get them out of that Garden of Eden and move them into that wilderness. So they were removed because of their own folly. They were sent out there because they wanted to trust their own ideas over the wisdom of God. But sometimes we get to the wilderness experience not because of our own, but because of the mistakes and the decisions of other people. Actually, the children of Israel were there because of Pharaoh. Yeah, God wanted to use them and train them, but they were also there because of Pharaoh. I remember the story of Abraham and Sarah when they misused their servant Hagar, and she ended up fleeing to the wilderness, not because of anything she had done, but because of the misdirection and the disobedience of Abraham and Sarah not waiting for God. And then sometimes we get to those wilderness experiences just because God wanna train us. He wanna teach us. He led the children of Israel there. Everything that you learn in the wilderness, everything that you learn, trusting God, being obedient, knowing your identity that you are the sons and the daughters of God. Everything you learn in the wilderness, those are going to be the same things that's going to allow you to thrive in your promise, in your calling, in your Garden of Eden. It's the same thing. That's why so many, if you're walking in his ways, when you're walking in your calling, you have to make sure that you're still trusting him. You have to make sure that you're still being obedient to him and listening to what it is that he's want to say. Amen. That you are trusting him without hesitation. That you're following him and listening to him and guiding and being humble before him. In Deuteronomy 8 and 11, Moses, before entering into the promised land, he warned the generation that was about to go in. He warned them to be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Sometimes the danger isn't the hardship. Sometimes we thrive on the challenge. Oh, this is hard. This is hard. The danger is forgetting God when life gets good. All right? So we don't want to do that. We want to always be obedient because, like Adam and Eve, we get thrown back into the wilderness. All right? But we want to walk when things are good, when we're in his promise, when we're walking in the calling that he's called us to do. We want to make sure that we're still trusting in him without hesitation, that we're being obedient to him. And that we are saying that you are my Lord, you are my God. And another story of wilderness experience was was David. Right? David was he was an anointed king, but still, because of Saul, he had been anointed by Samuel. He still was a fugitive, and he had flown to the wilderness to find rescue there. And it talks about it in 1 Samuel 22 and 1. But before David could rule in the palace, he had to survive the wilderness experience. Twice Dave had the opportunity to kill Saul. He could have killed him in the cave in 1 Samuel 24, and he could have killed him when they were in the camp and he took their weapons and everything. But David refused to revenge. He said in 1 Samuel 24 and 6, "I will not stretch my hand against the Lord's anointed." And even though Saul was chasing, going with 3,000 men into the wilderness to hunt down and kill David, David refused, even though he had opportunity and sleep had fallen upon Saul, and he refused to kill him because he was trusting in the Lord and he wasn't going to do anything without the direction of God. He said that, hey, that's God's anointed. Sometimes you might have the power to do something, and sure, David and his men had the power to kill Saul, but that doesn't mean that you have the permission to do it. And you have to make sure that you're listening to God's word and doing and waiting on God is better than rushing God. But so David, he was great when it came to Saul and not killing Saul. But in 1 Samuel 25, David got a little challenged because if you remember, I said God does not waste any kind of wilderness experience. So there was a challenge that Dave had to face. There was a test. And the test came about when Nabal was a rich man in that wilderness area, and he insulted Dave. David had sent his servants, sent his men to ask Nabal to give them some food. They were about to have this great, great feast. It was they were shearing the sheep, and it was a great, great feast. And David and his men had watched over Nabal's shepherd for all the time that they were out in the wilderness. They didn't let any danger come to them. And so David just thinks, hey, this guy, I've taken care of his shepherds. I haven't harmed them. I've actually been a covering for them. So I'm going to go and ask, I want you guys to approach him and ask him for some food. They're this big celebration with fatted calves and everything and grapes and just music and great, great amount of food that is being served. But Nabal insulted him and said, no, you can't have any. And he sent him back. And David became angry. And then David reached out his sword and he called his men that we were going to kill them all. And it was because of pride. So now he's in the wilderness. He's angry. He's feel hurt that because really in the back of his head, he knows that he is the king. All right? Matter of fact, early in this chapter, Samuel had just passed away. And he didn't have the opportunity to go to his funeral. So he's feeling a little hurt anyway. He's kind of in that moaning stage. And then now, here is Nabal, who's refusing. Even the faithful, even faithful people can stumble sometimes when you're in the wilderness. So you have to be mindful. Mindful of those tests. But God sent protection unto him. He sent a person called Abigail. And sometimes you're in the wilderness. Sometimes you're in the wilderness to come along and help somebody. All right? Abigail heard about the story of David, and then she hurried and she reminded David that the Lord will make my Lord a house, and my Lord shall have no cause of grief. So Abigail's intervened. She packs up tons and tons of food to come and give to David and his men so that they won't come and kill Nabal and all the men of that community. And the good thing about Abigail is that she was being obedient. She heard God's voice, and she began to act. She didn't hesitate. She just moved. And she intervened. She intervened with courage and then with humility. And she spoke to David. And she said, don't make a mistake here. While you're in the wilderness, don't make a mistake. Because God is calling you to something. Don't do something that you're going to regret later on, that's going to put a scar on who the Lord has called you to be. You are more than that just because of somebody's silly and selfish actions. And then the one thing that I loved about this story is that David listened to her. All right, David listened. And he said in 1 Samuel 25, blessed be your good sense who kept me from blood guilt. Because he wasn't killing because he was trying for protection. He wasn't killing about to kill because they were his enemies. He was there because of revenge, because somebody had did an offense against him. So we're in the wilderness for all kinds of reasons. And we can know that no matter what that reason is, no matter where we are, when we're in the wilderness, we can know that we can depend and trust in God. And as I said before, that Jesus is our, what is it? Jesus is our reason. Jesus is the one who allows us to strive, to survive, and to thrive in that wilderness. And as we finish up kind of talking about David, we also know of another man, our Savior Jesus Christ. Even before he gave any message, before he healed anyone, before he turned anything to from had any kind of miracles, he was in the wilderness. Here, just hold on a second. Throw it in a little dry. Hallelujah. Lord is good. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So when we talk about it, we think about how Israel, they failed a lot of the tests that God had given them when they were in the wilderness. And even David, he passed some, but others he nearly failed. He nearly failed. And Abigail had to come along and speak God's wisdom to him. But the scripture tells us that there is one who entered the wilderness and never even failed, not even once. And his name is Jesus. In Matthew 4:1, it says that Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Jesus, like Israel, Israel wandered through the wilderness for 40 years. Jesus fasted for 40 days. Israel was called God's son in Exodus 4 and 22. Jesus in Matthew 3 and 17 is declared God's beloved son. Where Israel failed, Jesus stands firm. We write the story in Matthew 4, 1 through 11. And if I could just read that right quick. Let's see. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Let's keep going. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Keep going. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Jesus went through three temptations. First one was bread from stone. He came back every time. Every time he came back, saying that it is written. And he was actually using scripture from the Old Testament in Deuteronomy that Moses was speaking. And it says that man shall not live by bread alone. I think I read that scripture before. But by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Jesus chose trust over reliance, over self-reliance. So in this situation, Jesus, tired, had fasted, and then Satan comes and tempts him. He says, "Hey, turn this bread to stone. You're all that. If you're all that, if you are the Son of God, you can do that." But he wasn't having any of that. He was trusting in God fully because it wasn't the time for him to turn bread into stone or to make bread. It could be done, and he had all that authority. We even know that when he was in the wilderness and he was beginning to teach the 5,000, we actually know that he did make bread. And he made and multiplied fish. So we know from hyperlinking or going ahead in the scripture, we know that it was done. But at this time, he was in the wilderness and he was being tempted by Satan and he was giving no place to it. He was trusting God, his Father, without any hesitation. Then the next test that happened is Satan tells him, "Hey, jump to prove that God is God." But Jesus chose faith over manipulation. He wasn't going to let Satan coerce him or tempt him to manipulate God and show that God is God. You shall not put the Lord your God to a test. And that's what Jesus came back. It is written. And for sure enough, we know, if we jump ahead, that Jesus did have the power over death. Because numerous times he raised people from the dead, and ultimately he went to the cross, and he died on the cross, and he rose again. So we know he had it, but not here. He's not giving place to Satan. He's not going to manipulate or trick God into doing something because he fully obeys God and he knows that he is the Son of God. And he fully trusts him. The next test was kind of like Satan was saying, hey, I can give you a shortcut to power. Take all these kingdoms. They're yours, just if you bow down to me. But Jesus said, I choose obedience over compromise. Worship the Lord your God and serve him fully. No other gods before you. I'm not going to put any other gods before you. And we know the stories that he was the truly Son of God. Actually, the dove had already rested upon him. And in his death, he was given all authority, all power here on earth and in heaven. Jesus defeated Satan not with spectacle, but with scripture. It is written. It is written. Know the word. He also knew that he was the Son of God. So because of his identity, he didn't waver. I am God's Son. The dove and the Holy Spirit at the beginning of his ministry rested upon him. And he defeated Satan and was victorious with his test in the wilderness because he trusted God. Trust without hesitation. He was obedient. In Luke 4 and 14, it says that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. The wilderness didn't break Jesus. It revealed him. And I've told you these stories of the children of Israel, David, and of Jesus. And you might ask, how does it matter? And the reason it matters is because of who Jesus is. Jesus won every one of these tests, every battle, all the wilderness experience. He won it for us. We do not have a high priest. If you can put that scripture up, Hebrews 4 and 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So we can have confidence that when we go through those wilderness experiences, and I don't know what your wilderness experience is right now, but you can have confidence that Jesus is going to be there with you. He passed the test so that we don't have to walk alone through our wilderness experience. He's our bread. If you're hungry, he's your water. If you're thirsty, he's your shepherd. Hallelujah. He's your strength. Hallelujah. He's your victory. You don't have to worry. He's going to be there with you. Actually, it says that when you're falling into all kinds of temptation, rejoice. Hallelujah. Because he's working a patience in you. He's testing you. He's preparing you for your garden. He's preparing you for your calling. He's preparing you for your promised land. Hallelujah. He doesn't waste any kind of wilderness experience. He's there to teach you and to bless you and to grow you and to refine you. Hallelujah. And to let you know that, hey, I'm your Father God. Hallelujah. Our wilderness season might look all different, and it probably does. I don't know your wilderness experience. You might know a little bit about mine, but I don't know what your season looked like. Your wilderness could just be waiting, just waiting. I don't know, Lord, which way to go, and you're just waiting. Your wilderness season might be financial pressures. You're working every day. You're going to work 40 hours a week. Your husband, your wife, everybody's working, and still those debit bills are, the ends don't seem to meet. Those credit card bills are coming in high, and you know what? Maybe your spouse don't even know about that credit card debt, but it's weighing on you heavy. So it might be financial pressures. It might be health battles. Whatever it is that you're dealing with. It might even be financial struggles. But so whatever your wilderness and what you're dealing with could just be spiritual dryness. Like, I am trying to hear from the Lord. I am trying to pray, but I seem not to be able to pray. I want to read the word. I know I should, but I still don't seem to be able to sit down and hear his word. Or it just could be just some unanswered prayer, and you're just getting frustrated. I've been praying for a long time. I don't know what your wilderness experience is. But will you trust God? Will you trust God in your season, in your wilderness? Will you trust God? The wilderness exposes, the wilderness trains, the wilderness prepares. But only if you respond correctly. Israel teaches that we have to depend on God daily. David teaches that we got to surrender. If we're angry, surrender our reactions quickly and repent and listen, obey him. And then Jesus teaches complete obedience to God and God alone. And because Jesus overcame every test that he went through, every test that was put on him, we don't face our wilderness alone. We're not in it by ourselves. You're not in it by yourself. So no matter what you're going through, you got to know that you can trust in God. You also got to know that the wilderness is not your destination. That's not the end of it. Hallelujah. We are in the wilderness. We've been prepared. We've been trained. We're being taught. But we're being prepared so that we can enter into our promised land. We can enter into that calling that God has for you, that you can rest in that Garden of Eden. Whatever it is that God has for you, it's still there. So today, if you hear God's voice, don't resist. Don't resist what he's doing. Just hold fast. Trust in him. Trust. Receive his correction. Obey what he shows you. Because in the wilderness, it's not where God abandons his people. He's not going to abandon you there. It's where he prepares them. He prepares you for that greater thing. He prepares you for that calling. And Jesus is not going to leave you in the wilderness. You can have confidence in that. He's going to walk with you in it. He's going to strengthen you through it. He will faithfully bring you out of it. Your promise, whatever that promise is, over and over, you know God is speaking to you. That promise is still ahead. Your purpose is still intact. And our God, he's faithful. And because Jesus has already won in the wilderness, your victory is not in question. Your victory is not a question. It's a promise. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Lord God, we just thank you right now, God. Lord, we just ask, Lord, whoever is here right now who's struggling with something right now, God. You know that they're in some, you know what their wilderness experience is, God. Lord, right now we just ask you to encourage their heart, Lord. Soften their heart. Let them hear your word and know that they could trust you fully. That you're not going to leave them alone in the wilderness. That you're going to guide them. You're going to bless them, Lord, right now. Whatever it is, Lord, just bring healing. Just bring deliverance, Lord. Bring encouragement, Lord, right now over this house, Lord. Lord God, and we thank you that you are our Father, that we are your sons, that we are your daughters, Lord. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As we close, the worship team is here.
Good morning, family.
Hi.
Hi. I'm Kelly Sue, and I'm here with my sister, Miss Sherry. Oh, what a beautiful service. We're so happy to be here before you. We're just wishing that you have the best week ever. And what a great way to start the week with what Miss Verda preached about this morning.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. And we love Miss Verda. She did such a good job today. And she gave an example today where she said, one of our older pastors, Pastor Sam, said, when you come to church, you sit in that chair and you trust in the chair. Mm. You need to trust in God like you trust in that chair. And Ms. Verda said, we have a long relationship with chairs. You've been sitting in chairs all your life. Mm. And anywhere you go, if you see a chair and you sit in it, you know. And so that's how God wanted the Israelites to trust him in the wilderness. He wanted them to trust him because of his history. Wow. And when we are in our wilderness season, we need to trust God. Amen.
Amen. So we would love to hug on you, to see you in person. The church doors are open Sundays at 9:30 a.m. And of course on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Please come visit us. We want to see you. We want to talk to you and just be with you. Just have the best week. Have a blessed week. If you're in your wilderness season, just know that God is with you. Just continue to trust him like we trust our chairs.
Amen. Amen. And if you need any prayer or need to reach out, just text that number on the bottom of the screen. All right? We love you and hope we can see you soon. Thank you for joining us.
Bye. Bye. You go, girl. You preaching up.